CliffCentral.com.
All right. Brand new week. And it's beautiful outside. Oh, man. Have you noticed it's light? Have you seen there's a little bit of light outside? It's the sun comes up a little bit earlier. It's not completely up yet, but there's that glimmer, that twilight, that kind of that dawn. Beautiful. The trees are all shooting new leaves. Flowers are in bloom. Birds are chirping. Spring is sprung. Fantastic. And you can really feel it. This whole weekend was so warm. I mean, if you were outside during the day on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you would have just thought, wow, be gone, winter. You know, it's done. And I do love it. I've said it every morning for the last couple of days. I just love this time of year. Something about that, like, renewal that I just absolutely love. How are you, Leanne Moll?
Oh, all good. I'm just listening to what you say, and I hope it sticks, because I know that Cape Town's facing a bit of a massive freeze at the moment, and you know what that means, of course. It'll come our way.
They've also had lots of rain in the Cape over the last few weeks. So that's good. That's good news for them, because if they don't get their rain in winter, then they don't get rain.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah,
yes, definitely a spring feeling this weekend. Oh, it was great. You know, when you just small things, like you go past a spa and they're making boerewors rolls, and people are getting ready to have a braai I don't know, cook something fun for their friends. Just feels good.
Yeah. No, it was very special this weekend. In fact, I spent a bit of the time, I think it was mostly Saturday morning and then yesterday, in the garden, kind of, you know, wandering around there rather than in the house, which has been the default for the winter. You know, you just kind of...
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Seamus says, yep, sending you a lekker cold front from the Cape. Thanks very much. That's great. Kapamba says, good morning. Friday's episode was incredible. I've been thinking about some of the ideas all weekend. Thank you. Trying to think what ideas we...
Yeah, me too. I didn't want to say.
I'm just trying to think what... thanks. I mean, it's great that Friday's show was good. I mean, I loved having Sam on. But we did kind of jump all over the place. So I'm trying to think what ideas were like breakthroughs. What kind of thing made a difference? Oh, watch this. This is fun, Leanne. This is a kid who was copying you. Look at this.
Don't be suspicious.
Doing your don't be suspicious?
So cute.
Someone sent that in there. The kid was
that's so cute.
Was pulling a Leanne Moll. I like that very much.
Aww.
Yeah. There are a couple of messages on the voice notes for the week or over the weekend. Let's take a listen to some of those.
Hey, guys. I can't send this. I can't speak too loud, but just letting you know that the Booker one, I'm pretty on. However, I just saw a grown-ass man, like skinnier at the bottom, but a gunt on top. And I just thought of you guys, and fuck me, it was probably one of the most filthiest things. I mean, come on. I don't know what to say, but anyway, I'm just saying, fuck, see you on Monday.
So a guy who was skinny at the bottom and at the top, but he had a big gunt in the middle, which is...
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I know exactly what you mean. Hey, I feel pretty similar. I sometimes feel like a Christmas ball on toothpicks.
Like a bladder on a stick, or like a Grünberger Stein. You know those Grünberger bottles.
I've actually lost weight. Hey,
have you? Well done.
No, well, I didn't try even. I'm on the intermittent eating plan.
Oh yeah, that's the way to go. Everybody,
you know, you think I'm talking about intermittent fasting?
Oh,
I'm talking about intermittent eating.
What, you just haven't been eating? So,
yeah, just like when I have time or when I can be bothered to go to the shop and actually buy food.
Oh, okay. So
then I do.
All right, I'm with you. That's awesome. I had a whole week last week. I don't think I went to the shops once. Meant to.
Yeah.
So I've got like very limited supplies in the house at the moment. So it's fine. I mean, I also didn't have anything the week before, but I survived. So, you know, I reckon we buy too much because it's so easy.
And definitely.
And we've talked about this before, you know, how much stuff goes to waste and how much shit lies around. And you know, you check your fridge and you're like, oh, all that stuff I bought has gone off. I was going through, when was it? On probably Thursday last week, I was just going through stuff and like throwing out things in the pantry and that kind of thing. And there was so much crap that, you know, you see things in the shop sometimes. Even if you're operating on a budget and you're like, oh, that would be nice. And when you get home, you're like, what did I buy this for?
Sometimes the shop made you do it, the marketing. You know, when they brought out a new section of like, I don't know, imported foods or things that you've seen on programs or TV shows or movies that are finally here in South Africa.
No, I don't know so much. There's, you know, food, absolutely. I haven't been clothes shopping for ages and ages. I think the last time I went out, I bought like 3 or 4 t-shirts before I went overseas in March. And that that was the last time I bought any new clothes. So, I mean, my wardrobe, you could probably see a repeat of outfits now way more regularly. And they're getting... Like some of the stuff I really need to just get rid of. And the same goes for the same goes for the pantry. You know, you sometimes just need to do a clear out. I saw this brilliant show yesterday.
Pantry and the pants.
Yeah, exactly. I saw this brilliant show. This woman who she like goes into people's houses and organizes them.
Oh yeah. What did you see it on? Was it called a home edit or something?
Something like that. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. You know, I don't know any channels. I kind of flip through them. When I see something, I stick on that. But she, what did she do? She went into this woman's house. There's this lady who does crafting. Now, you know, I mean, that's a very broad term. It's a very broad term. So apparently what this woman does, she makes cool things. Okay. So she makes, well, pretty things. So she makes like these arrangements of like Easter bunnies in a basket or whatever to, you know, like I suppose a shop would have them. Up in the like Easter egg section or whatever, and they'd put them up there. And this woman is like a disaster. She hoards. Her whole house is full of like craft supplies, but it's a disorganized mess. Mm-hmm. It's like the one room was piled to the ceiling, and this is the house. She only has like 3 or 4 rooms in the whole house, right? So she's got like her sitting room, dining room, which is an open plan area. She's got a kitchen, a bedroom, and a bathroom. That's all she's got. But the entire living room, dining room, kitchen thing is just piled chock full of this shit, just all over the place. And she has to get this other lady in who then like helps her organize it. And this guy builds her this desk and this cabinet and like all of these storage things. And then her house looks just a million times better. But I watched this. I thought it's only going to take 3 weeks for this woman to completely reduce it to ashes again. She's gonna fuck it up really quickly. She's going to make a bigger mess at the end of it. Now she's got more place to like throw shit. Watch.
I'm trying to figure out. I know you don't really care which show it was, but I do. And I think it was either like a hoarders type show or it was the home edit. Doesn't sound like the home edit to me.
No, it was.
Was it on Netflix?
No, I didn't even know how to switch that on. No, this is on a DSTV channel. I can't even tell you which one. Oh, here's Mash. Mm. Ding dong. Hello, Mash.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Look at you.
I am good now. How are you guys? These technical difficulties, but all sorted now.
Why were you so like, flushed. Are you all right? You busy?
Yes. Can you guys hear me properly?
Yeah, perfectly. Yeah, all good.
Ah, fantastic.
All good. What's been happening? How was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was actually very relaxed. For once in my life, I had a very relaxed weekend. It was just so calm. I got to spend time with family. I went to the East Rond and got to spend some time with family that side. And actually came back very late last night. Very, very late. But apart from that, it was a very pleasant weekend. Nice. Very pleasant weekend. Wasn't wild being in the East Rand and all. So okay. That's very positive.
Okay. At least you got back... At least you got back out of the East Rand. That's all that matters.
Yeah, got out of there. You got home.
Getting out is always the trick.
Yeah, Takleho says, the Bucca won, that's fantastic, but Eben's anger is very unstable. I'm shook. So what, I mean, did anyone watch this? Because I've seen the memes going around of like Eben saying, what do you mean you run out of Bronnevane? Or what was the other one? Something about like Leicester no fucking moy for me, something like that.
Yeah, he looked very menacing.
Yeah,
I also only saw a clip, but he looked very menacing. And then I saw that he'd apologized, so I don't know if that counts for anything.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, like, I didn't watch the rugby clearly, so I don't know anything about this. And thank God Tatlicha was there with a little bit of news, otherwise we wouldn't know anything about this. We probably wouldn't talk about it if he hadn't brought it up in the comments either. But if you did pay attention to any news, apparently there was this story about how Gallo Record Company owed the city of Joburg 3 million rand. And it was all over the news the other day. And then it turns out that was false.
Yeah, exactly. So this is City Press, which wrote the story.
Yeah.
And not only wrote the story, but, you know, I mean, it's not like it just appeared in some newspaper that nobody picked up and bought. It's on street polls all over. It's on digital media. And Gallo Records actually stood up for themselves and said, hang on a minute, you guys are speaking absolute rubbish.
Oh, really?
So City Press, so Gallo used to be at a place that's now called Downtown Music Hub Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Joburg.
Okay.
And they reported that artists who were recording there had to bring their own generators after the electricity was cut off for a whole month. And that was due to non-payment of electricity bills by City Power. Apparently, you know, the paper said studios went dark on July the 22nd. And Gallo has now said, you know, we wish to register our utmost disgust at the falsehoods being spread by the City Press newspaper. That Gallo isn't even there anymore in that building.
Ugh, scurrilous.
Those studios were sold to the Department of Arts and Culture over 10 years ago.
So did they just thumbsuck this?
Yeah, somebody, maybe they drove past and saw that at night or something, or when
it's dark,
people would usually be recording, it was dark. It was called Downtown Studios when they were there. And then the Department of Arts and Culture called it Downtown Music Hub, rebranded it. Gallo hasn't had anything to do with that place for 10 years. I mean, I would be so nervous as a journalist and then as an editor, which I am both, is just to publish something without checking, just a Google search.
Yeah.
Well, Google search.
You know what's so ridiculous is that these newspapers, I mean, okay. I'm afraid one of those categories of people that I don't give them any leeway as journalists, because they go around snooping around trying to find stories that are usually, it's like they're just trying to collect some clickbait, because that's really what journalism's become. It's not really about those long investigative pieces where they unpack things. I mean, there are very few journalists who can do that anymore. And in this country, most journalists are, you know, they're at the bottom of the barrel. They're earning minimum wage. They do a very average job. They've forgotten that you have to check sources. They think that rumor and gossip and a tweet is enough to go on. And many of them, most
and
of
the pressure is high.
Of course, there's huge pressure because how do you make a name? You have to break a big story, right? So when you smell something, you think something's going on. You don't even bother to check. This is just, this is like laziness, the laziest, laziest kind of journalism. Yeah. Oh, well, we hear that there's an outstanding amount of money here, or someone drops some hint on social media, and then that's enough for them to go on. They don't bother investigating. They don't call anybody up. I mean, this has been going on for years. And these, in inverted commas, journalists who are being churned out of places like Rhodes are absolutely useless. Really, it's just embarrassing. Like, journalism's always been a slightly dodgy profession. There have been some people who've been really good and who've stuck their heads up high and have done amazing stories and broken. You know, when we had Barry Bateman on the other day, who was one of the people who first told us about the Guptas at Watercliffe Air Force Base. I mean, that was a major story, because if that hadn't broken, we wouldn't have known anything about the Guptas at all, even till today. Now, you know, they're whistleblowers, all kinds of people, all kinds of places. We had a discussion on the Burning Platform about this a while ago. But the average journalist, in inverted commas, in this country, they're just like they're an aggregator of bullshit on social media, and they can't tell the difference themselves between what's true and not. So now here's, you know, Gallo Record Company. And listen, the record company is also having a tough time because they're not making the kind of money that they used to. And people are now like, oh, well, that's Gallo Record Company. And it's embarrassing if you owe the city of Joburg 3 million rand and you can't put the lights on. And then we discover later it's not even you.
I mean, the part about artists having to bring their own generators, where did that come from?
Yeah.
I would have thought maybe, at least have a generator and have artists bring their own petrol, perhaps. You know, some dignity. Lighting your own generator around Joburg.
But it's so true, Gareth. And I recently, as I mentioned, had family over from New York. And my uncle's cousin, it sounds so far removed, works at the BBC.
Oh, yeah.
And he's always been interested in our sort of media landscape.
Right.
Especially because of my involvement. And he said to me, so I haven't spoken to you in years. What's the best radio station to listen to right now, for instance? And I couldn't answer him.
No.
I actually couldn't answer him. And I said to him, it seems as if anybody who was ever anything in radio or TV has moved on, and no one's training anyone. And if there are, they're not the people who are the right people to be training them. And it was so weird because about 2 weeks after that, I was approached by our friend Dory in Eclipse Central, who said to me, you know, I've got some extra freelance work for you to do if you're interested. And it's for a really good South African and African company, which is training journalists all over South Africa and Africa. Journalists, but not only journalists, also corporates who deal with the media and how to deal with the media properly, how to, you know, have your press releases in order and your ducks in a row and speak to camera and speak about your brand and approach questions that are thrown at you. And it's just so nice to know that there are people out there who know what they're doing, who finally teaching other journalists what to do.
Yeah, you know, there's no better experience than the practical experiences, like actually getting in and doing it. But there's just not that many jobs that can pay. And listen, if you want a proper news team, you have to spend money. You know, it's an expensive thing. Mash?
Another thing that has made journalism so much more of a, it's not even a niche thing anymore. It's just all over the place, is the internet.
Yeah.
These journalists have to churn out so many articles a day. They are under so much ridiculous pressure. Half the articles you see nowadays on online publications are just Twitter feeds. It's just whatever's happening on Twitter. You even see those articles with like the little Twitter embeds on them, or TikTok screenshots, or TikTok embeds. That is all that is happening now, because the pressure is so high. The pressure is so high. They have to churn out 24/7.
Yeah, they do. and a lot of it is just shit. So Steve says allegedly is the journalist's favorite word. That's true.
Yeah.
Audrey's brought up another piece of news over the weekend. Taylor Hawkins, the drummer from the Foo Fighters, right? He was retiring, and they did a tribute concert. Or I don't know if he's retired, if he's dead, or I don't know. I didn't watch it, but I saw some social media on this, and apparently his son was playing the drums or something. Shane, he's like 16 years old, and this kid can play the drums. So that sounds pretty damn cool. But I wish I didn't see it, so I don't know anything about it. But thank you. See, also, we are we're dependent on you to help us out with some news some of the time. I didn't watch any news over the weekend. Don't know what the hell's going on. But
it was a proper tribute concert because he has died.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Well.
And then speaking of this weekend, did you guys also watch the SAFTAs? They were this weekend.
Oh, okay. No, of course I didn't watch the SAFTAs. Why? What was it?
You guys missed out.
What was
you guys
it good?
Missed out on the most glamorous Zoom meeting I've ever seen. It was beautiful.
Why was it online? Wasn't it in person?
So that's the confusing part, because the red carpet started at about 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And we saw people walking down the red carpet. Well, I wouldn't even call it a red carpet. It was just like a little room.
Oh,
they just walked onto some stage in a room.
And but wait. What were you watching this on? What channel or platform?
It was on S3. Or CBC3. It's not called S3 or something.
Yeah.
But
The red carpet started at about 7 and it was completely silent. So I thought to myself, what's going on? Because this is a red carpet. It's supposed to be glitz and glam and noise and cameras flash. It was completely silent. And people were being interviewed one at a time on some stage. It seemed like they were just in some strange dark room. So I thought to myself, okay, it's probably just, I don't know, some special kind of red carpet. They're interviewing people in some special quiet room or something. Perhaps maybe they're going to go inside. The show's going to be great. Cool. The show starts. It's just complete silence. You don't hear people clapping. You hear
nothing. So
there's
a stage and there's a presenter or what?
Yes, there's a stage, there's presenters, but silence. And you don't even see a crowd. No crowd is shown at all at any point. So at this point, I'm wondering, okay, the crowd is probably just really silent or they're just
sitting
in another room.
Yeah, no, that's just
there's
just,
something there was off.
There was a technical problem probably. But why are they?
Yes.
So why are they still doing like Zoom? I mean, why are they doing that? Is it not? I don't understand.
I have no clue. But the most annoying thing was the fact that people were actually there. People were actually walking the red carpet. And as soon as they walked that red carpet, I think they were just thrown into some dungeon or something and summoned only when they won something. Because every time someone won something, they just show up on a screen. And they'd show up already holding their award. So that's what made it even weirder. They'll be like, the winner is Leanne Mole. Not even half a second later, Leanne is on the screen holding an award in front of a green screen with sparkles behind her. And she's like, thank you so much. And to make things worse, they didn't even take the effort to just stream whatever's on the screen onto our screens. So they took like, they just pointed the camera at that screen, very low res screen. Very low res.
So
it was so hazy. And I was like, what is going on here? And the whole time, the entire thing is completely silent. So when somebody wins, there's no clapping, there's nothing. It's just utter silence.
That's so weird.
It was awful.
You think it's a budget issue? But I mean, still.
They issued an apology on Twitter. And basically, it was the tender that was awarded for last year. I think they awarded it for this year as well. I think it was a two-year thing. So the company that did it last year had to do it this year as well.
Ugh.
So that's where the data started. Because now, soon as the show went live, everyone was like, but it's not COVID. COVID is over. Why
exactly.
Are you still doing this?
This is what I don't understand. And you've confused me.
It was terrible. It was that terrible. Is. Imagine getting all dressed up to be thrown in a dungeon and be summoned just to shoot your little Zoom meeting acceptance speech.
I think it sounds pathetic. I mean, you know, it's like, first of all, it's SABC, so I'm not surprised because they just they seem to have totally given up on the idea of broadcasting. It's like whatever we can do to save money now, and it's not even I don't even think they're even trying to save money. I think they're just they don't know what else to do, and they've got so little running around that they have to slap something together. But how ridiculous. Like how ridiculous that that this is the South African Film and Television Awards.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the disgrace.
Mm. It looks like that's it's the been biggest put together disgrace. By a first year student.
Yeah.
In fact, this first year student probably would have done better.
And also, honestly, I mean, I'm really like I'm so sick of these online meetings now, but I can still do them, and I do them more efficiently and faster and like with less. It's less stress and effort. And we went through three of them on Friday morning, and they went like this. And it was we got shit done, and it was great. I mean, Mash, you were in two of them with me, and it was really good. I mean, it was like quick meetings, did briefings, got some stuff looked at, approved. Like I love it when people are efficient, but it seems to me that this has become a, you know, it's also an excuse for really unproductive people to pretend they're doing things. Especially those ones who refuse to switch on their cameras. We all know those ones.
Yeah, I get confused by that. Mm-hmm. I've got a colleague where at one of the businesses that I work at, and I've never seen what she looks like.
Yeah, you see.
And we're in meetings with the clients who, and they've all got their cameras on, the clients. So there'll be, you know, two of us or three of us from the company. And then two or three clients. Everyone's got their cameras on, and she never ever turns hers on.
I think
that
that's
so odd. Does she at least respond in time?
Yeah, no, she's all professional and all the rest of it. It's just and also there's no like sorry, I prefer not to put my camera on. Or there's nothing like that. It's just hello. this is how I operate.
If everybody else is on and you're not, you need to get on. Sorry.
It's a bit rude, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like you have to get on that camera. Like if everybody else in the call is on and you're the only one who isn't, you need to be on there. What's the excuse?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, tell us what the excuse is.
I was once in a Zoom meeting with a previous client of mine, and there was this lady, and she'd always have her camera off. And I remember she'd never be summoned a lot. She'd never actually be like talked to directly a lot, but there was one time that somebody actually did address her and said, hey, listen here, blah, blah, blah. Please give us an update on what's going on with this. And then we all silent for about 20 seconds, no response. hi, we want a response on this. Yes, all our cameras are off, but we're used to having our cameras on either way, but she always has hers off all the time. But this day we realized why. And I feel like she felt comfortable because this time around, everybody's cameras was off. So yeah. I think she took it as a chance to, you know, do her grocery shopping, you know,
sit in the bath.
Well, so a friend of mine, a friend of mine runs this this cloud dating thing, and he was telling me that one day they did a series of dates, and it's people who, obviously this is in the middle of COVID, right? So people were all online at home, but you get to have your first meeting virtually. So what they do is they have like this this rotation system where every guy gets to spend, I don't know, 5 minutes with every girl. And so there's a schedule. So this one guy calls him and goes, you know, I don't understand. Like I've paid money. Where's this girl? I'm talking to a chair. And he said, what? So he goes online and he tries to see what's going on. This girl has, she's got in her car and she's going somewhere. And she goes, oh no, I have something I had to do. He's like, but you signed up for this thing.
Yeah, right. It's a scheduled thing.
And she's like, oh, can't I do it from the car? He's like, no, we set this up so that you could actually meet guys. That's the whole reason you're doing this. You have to actually be sitting somewhere and doing this. She's like, ah, can't I just do it while I'm doing the groceries? He's like, you want to go on a date while you're doing a grocery? You can't even multitask while you're driving and being on a video conference call. I mean, people will take chances, hey? It's unbelievable. And I think it's just, it's like partly because they think they can be super efficient, but they can't. That's also true. Mm. Like they're not as efficient and brilliant as they think. Everybody thinks, oh, I can do all these 15 things at once. No, you can't.
They must stop lying to themselves. Just stop lying to themselves, because nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Listen, they're making all these really cheap shows on TV as well, where you now suddenly, you know, they'll be doing like a TV show in someone's back garden, and it's just disgusting. Like these face brick prison like walls. There's a pile of like garden shit in the corner.
Rubble.
Yeah, rubble. And you're like, what happened to being professional? Because if you want to say that everybody is now a broadcaster, which we believe at Cliff Central, right? People are all in this business. If you, no matter who you are, you can have a clean background for your Zoom call. Just a clean, tidy background.
That is true.
You can have...
Your environment doesn't even have to be clean itself. Just stand in front of a wall.
Just tidy. You look
just set up your laptop in front of a wall.
Like to go back to this woman who's a hoarder or whatever and is trying to like tidy up her house. You see how people live and you're like, Jesus, you're like, it doesn't cost money to be tidy. Mm. I know people who have no money, but they have a tidy kind of environment. They just keep they put their washing in a basket. They don't just throw it on the floor behind them.
It was something my gran always said. You know, my gran and grandfather grew up on the mines, basically, you know, in Rhodesia. He was a miner. He would literally work underground. And they had absolutely no money and four kids, you know, the story. And she always... Being a very religious person, I didn't actually know this at the time, but the Bible frowns upon mold on anything being moldy. So, you know, it's advocating cleanliness. So yes. She was always very, very clean just by nature and then also her Christianity. And she always said, it doesn't matter how poor you are, you can always find soap and water and make sure that everything around you is clean, including what you're wearing.
Well, I have a friend who is so moneyed. She has so much money. Her family has so much money. And they're just living the fabulous life. You know, she has Louis Vuitton handbags. She has Balenciaga slippers. She's living her best life. And this friend of mine, I had never went to her place before. Met on social media. We meet out publicly. So social spaces, we always come across each other. And one day she was like, friend, so my car went to service. Please help me with groceries. Please, like, can we take your car, go do some groceries, come back to my place. And yeah, maybe I could fix you some wine or something and we could hang out. Cool. We do our groceries, go back to her place. And as soon as she opens that door, she turns back and says to me, yeah, it's a bit messy. And I thought to myself, it's fine, man. You're my friend. I don't mind. You know, I don't mind just a little bit of a mess. It's fine.
Yeah.
She opens the door and I walk in. First thing I notice, my feet stick to the ground. It's all crunchy. The floor is supposed to be white. It is gray, dark gray. And to make things worse, her bedroom is just, and she might be listening to this. Hi, friend. Anyway, so her bedroom is just an absolute disaster. All her clothes, all her Louis Vuitton, everything's just sitting there. And I thought to myself, seeing you in public, I would never suspect that this is the life you're living, this disgusting life. Yeah. Obviously, I didn't stay for wine. I'm in a hurry.
I think I would have still stayed for wine.
Listen,
why
you mentioned Balenciaga, and then we've got to get to some news headlines. But look at these Balenciaga bottle slippers that came up on my feed over the weekend. No, I'm not kidding. This is an actual thing.
Are these real?
Telling you, I promise you. And they're shaped like for example, you'd squash a like water bottle and.
Before you put it into the bin, you would squash all the air out of an empty bottle and put the lid back on. But then it's got attached to it the top of a flip-flop, whatever you want to call them, which says Balenciaga on it. And the person wearing them is wearing a pair of socks, white socks. So they've got their big toe and then the other squished together.
I believe it's real, and I'm not surprised. And I'll bet you that that friend of Mash's would buy a pair of these because they, you know, got that, they've got the word Balenciaga on them, so they must be good. And we've discussed
absolutely, and they'll fit her aesthetic.
Look, I have to just put in there as a disclaimer,
yeah,
that it could be mental health issues as well when your home looks like that. But that's just to protect those people who have that issue. So just putting it out there as you were.
All right, let's look at a few stories in the news this morning. So the first one is that the mayor of Johannesburg is confident that the coalition will complete its electoral term. She's built a little coalition in the city of Joburg that she is trying very hard to keep together. That is Mpopalatse. She's hit out at opposition parties who are eyeing her removal, saying that the multi-party coalition will finish its term. Following the successful ousting of Council Speaker Vasco da Gama on Thursday, opposition parties have pointed to Palazzi, claiming she was the next to be removed from her position. However, her spokesperson said opposition parties were peddling misinformation in an attempt to sow divisions within the coalition while the ruling government is focused on repairing and rebuilding the city. It is therefore about the ANC and their hangers-on, and because of them that the Joburg multi-party government has a short period of time and has already made progress in undoing years of neglect. What is also significant is that all councillors and senior managers will be subjected to lifestyle audits. Many will struggle to justify why there is a large deficit between what they claim to earn and the lifestyle they live.
So my question is, who's conducting the audits, number one? Is it external?
Yeah, well, this is it. They've got to do it externally. Otherwise, how are we going to believe them, right? Mm. ANC caucus leader Dada Morero, who was actually on our show on Thursday, said they would push through a no-confidence motion against Palazzi at the next seating, which is going to be on Thursday this week. In a joint statement, coalition partners DA, Action SA, COPE, Freedom Front Plus, IFP, Patriotic Alliance, and the ACDP said they are committed to the coalition. So this is just the ANC in their death throes in Johannesburg trying to assert themselves, but no one's really terribly impressed. And then this is interesting. Prince Charles's friend says that Harry and Meghan are going to be frozen out of the royal family. I suppose that's the best thing that could happen, right?
It's coming.
Yeah, according to a publication called The Daily Beast, one of Prince Charles's friends has said that Charles adores Harry and would like nothing better than to get their relationship back. But in a meeting next week, But a meeting next week is unlikely. Everything was already on hold until they saw what was in Harry's book. But if Meghan is actively threatening to reveal further secrets and telling interviewers, I haven't signed anything, I can say whatever I want, then it's not surprising that they're being frozen out. If you're even interested in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know she's your favorite person.
Yeah, she's terrific. I just love her. She's absolutely lovely. She's not at all an attention-seeking Hollywood, you know, pain in the
ass. So what does being frozen out mean? Because weren't they already cut off previously?
Well, they chose to cut themselves off.
Not with everything. They've still got titles. And
remember, they were invited for the Queen's Jubilee thing, but if they're totally frozen out, that means they can't come back. Then they really are left out in the cold. I hope that's what happens. I think a lot of people are very impressed. Yeah. Get them out. And then the Gauteng High Court in Pretoria has thrown out an urgent application by OUTsurance to have Hippo's controversial ad removed from screens. The advert got tongues wagging this week when it featured an actor who some said resembles Katleho Maboy in what appeared to be a spoof of an OUTsurance ad. In it, the man can be seen discussing...
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the man can be seen discussing ways to save on vehicle insurance when he and a customer are interrupted by a hippo showing them a better quote. The woman confronts the man about the saving and then tells him out. Papers shown indicate that the matter was heard on Monday and was struck off the roll. OUTsurance was ordered to pay the costs of the application. Excellent. Good. Because didn't they fire Katleho because they didn't like him? They didn't like that whole story with him, right?
It was a controversy.
Yeah, and
she's now being cleared.
Yeah, that woman who claimed his ex or his wife or whoever it was who claimed that he was, you know, abusive and all the rest of it, turned out to be nonsense. And he'd cheated on her, and there was a whole thing. Anyway, this is the is the guy in the ad, and he does look a little bit like Katlego
Mabotja. Yeah, I mean, I had to look twice.
But that's clever. I mean,
so it's not him.
No. But it looks like him.
Wow.
I reckon, you know, if there's any bunch of adverts that deserve to be taken the piss out of, it's those. It's those. So,
they folded so easily. They deserve it.
Yeah. No. I mean, I also think...
It's still interesting how in South Africa, competitive advertising is still a no-no. And there's so many strict rules around it. Whereas in the States... You can literally mention a competitor's name in your advertising if you want to.
Yes. I mean, you've seen Samsung and Apple ads. Those two are always attacking each other.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's good. Bring it on. Okay, so those are some of the news stories this morning. Let me quickly tell you, there's a series of podcasts that we've got on that we've done with Investec, which you can check out wherever you get your podcasts. The transition from fossil fuels to renewables is well underway. But solar and wind technologies aren't ready for baseload responsibility. Coal, natural gas, and nuclear will remain key in the energy mix in South Africa. It's something we've spoken about a couple of times. It's big in the news, and we continue to talk about it. You can find out more in the latest episode of Future Impact. It's a terrific series that we've done with Investec. You can listen to it on cliffcentral.com or wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Future Impact. And it's brought to you by Investec. It's absolutely awesome. Some really interesting things that they've looked into there. And even if you're not the kind of person who would normally pay attention to things like sustainability, the thing that makes this interesting is that it's going to affect all of us at some stage or another. So you need to pay attention. Also, coming up a little bit later on, we're also going to check in on Markets Mondays, which we'll do with markets.com. I'm excited to bring you the first episode with one of our experts, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But right now it is time for It's Going to Be Okay with Dr. Hanan, who is a renowned psychologist and head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And we're also going to be joined by Sarah, who needs some help from Dr. Hanan. And she'll explain what the problem is, and she'll explain what she needs some help with in just a moment or two. Dr. Hanan, obviously, always valuable. You had a session with him last week. Yeah.
I did indeed. And it's been on my mind a lot. So, yeah.
And you said
exciting times.
You said you're actually going to be working with him a little bit?
Yeah.
That's good.
It's on the list.
Very good.
Very, very busy times. In fact, I'll give you a quick show of my to-do list.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
48 items.
Look at you. You've got a whole bunch of stuff to do.
Yeah, nice. New clients, new jobs, so let's see how we go.
Hey, Doc, how are you?
Guys, how are you doing? Good.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Hanan, I'm going to put you on to Sarah. Sarah's video is going to be off, but she's got a story she wants to tell you, and she needs your advice and help. So I'm going to bring her on. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks, and yourself?
Hang on, I think Siri just asked me because I said hi, Sarah, and I think Siri decided. Oh. All right, so
how is Siri doing?
Don't ask her; she won't stop talking. All right, so Sarah, not Siri, tell us what the story is, and I'll put you onto Dr. Hanan, and he can hopefully give you some pointers.
Okay, thank you so much for the time. Okay. I've got a problem in my life, where the father of my child is a narcissist, and we're not together since she was like 18 months old, and and my situation changed so that I'm in a new relationship, and the guy's mother is a narcissist. And she's really trying her best to break this relationship up using the kids, because between us, we've got three kids, ranging between the ages of 2 years and 7. So she's quite manipulative. So is my ex, my father's child. all I want to know, or what I need is, I need tools and advice how to work with people that's got narcissistic behaviors, that's in your life that you can't escape, because yeah, they're part of our makeup at the moment.
Right. So, Sarah, how is he still involved in your life? What is he? What's his role? And or does he see the kids? Does he not see the kids? Does he fetch them? Is he consistent? Is he inconsistent? What's his role? What's his play in your life currently?
Okay, currently, I haven't seen him for 3 years. The last time my daughter saw, sorry, only the one daughter is his. I've only got one. So we haven't seen him for 3 years. The last time that she saw him, it was extremely rough. I had to get an interdict against him for verbal abuse. So he's not reliable with child support or anything. He's not in the country at the moment. I don't know when he's going to be back. But he does video call her on and off, and he's quite demanding with still being the father, obviously, and making choices. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what does she say about him? What does she say to you about her dad? Does she want to see her dad? Does she want to engage with her dad? Does she miss her dad? What is she, what's her take on her dad?
She loves him dearly. When he wants to speak to her and I tell her, listen, your father asked if you can phone him, she says no, she doesn't want to. So I don't force her to do it. I only do it when she wants to phone him. When she does phone him, she's quite teary. She misses him. Yeah.
She does, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so Sarah, you know from experience that dealing with narcissists, the common denominator amongst them is the emotional immaturity. They don't play the game nice, because one thing that categorizes narcissists is that it's all about me, 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 what I need, what I want, how I want to conduct myself, how I want to play the game. And it's not about the other people on the other side of the table. It's not about you. It's not about your needs. It's not about what you feel is appropriate. It's actually what they need. It's like a child. So children gravitate towards immediate gratification. They're unable to actually put themselves in other people's shoes. So I'll give you an analogy. Imagine you're sitting with two adults are sitting in a room with a jar of 10 cookies in front of them. As two adults, you realize that fair game and fair play would be, well, if I have five, you have five as well. So the moment I have my five cookies, well, I'm just going to stop, because I know the rest, the other five belong to you. But children just take all of it. And when I say children, I don't actually mean children by age. I mean children by maturity, because a lot of adults are just children and they don't have this ability to go, well, I've had five, the rest are for you. They just want to take as much as they want to and as much as they can. And that's something that categorizes a narcissist. They don't actually look after your needs, because it's all about me, 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 me. Now, how do you deal with a narcissist? So there's two things and two very important points that I want to make. One is, how do you deal with a narcissist? And two, specifically protecting your daughter or protecting kids. For those who are listening who have parents or siblings that are narcissists that have kids as well. So first of all, the only way to deal with narcissists is to set real boundaries, real specific rules of the game. Because remember, they don't look after your needs. So you have to look after your needs. A narcissist looks after them. And if you look after them too, well, then who is left behind, which is, well, obviously you. So you have to set the rules of the game. So what you need from them, but not generally. For example, you will not say to a narcissist, I want you to behave, because that's like saying to a child, I want you to behave. It doesn't mean anything. You would specifically tell the father of your child exactly how you want the rules of the game to be, with consequences if it's not adhered to. So for example, you would say to the father of a child, your time with our daughter is on Monday at 7:30. If you don't arrive by 7:30, I'm not opening the door. That is just the way it is. So unless you set these specific boundaries, these narcissists take and take and take and take and take. And the cost is not only you, but more importantly, it is your daughter. Now, so number one is you have to set some strict and specific boundaries with consequences. Remember, boundaries with consequences. Boundaries by themselves mean nothing. Even if they are specific, if you tell a narcissist or for that matter a child, I want you to behave in a particular way, but you don't attach consequences to it, well, as children, they just don't do it because why would I? It's about me, 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 and the lowest hanging fruit. So you have to remember, everybody, remember, boundaries without consequences is nothing. You have to attach consequences to the boundaries. But how do you manage your child? I need him and therefore you and the boundaries to ensure that there's consistency, stability, predictability, at least for your child. I need you to protect your child by offering stability. How old is your child now? How old is your daughter?
She's six.
Yes. So the last thing that you want your daughter to feel, by the way, is comfortable with this arrangement. And I'll say it again, and I'll explain. The last thing you want your daughter to feel is comfortable with this arrangement, because the moment your daughter feels comfortable with inconsistency, instability, unpredictability, that is when your daughter thinks that is normal. The moment your daughter finds comfort in that, that means she thinks that is normal. And when children think something is normal, they go out of the way to copy and paste as they repeat relationships later on. So you want your daughter to think that this is not okay, but then she's got to turn to you and find stability, consistency, predictability in your relationship with her. So you protect her relationship with her dad as much as you can with that stability, but at least she must have one pilot in her world that offers her that stability, that honesty, that transparency, that consistency, and that must be in you. Now, I'll say one more thing just about the relationship. With a narcissist, especially when they're part of your world, if this was a friend, I would say to you, well, the coin theory, just don't invest anymore. It's done. It's finished. There's no reason to invest any more time and effort into this relationship. But because this is the father of your child, he's going to be a part of your life in some way or capacity for the rest of her life or for the rest of his life. So we can't get rid of him. But what we have to do is minimize or manage the damage. So it's not about which strategy do we get him to behave in. It's rather which strategy can he cause less damage. Think about like a really naughty child that's having a tantrum and is not going to stop. It's not about making the child feel happy, but how do we remove the people around? How do we manage the environment? How do we manage the situation so the damage is less? A lot of people expect dealing with a narcissist to change their mind, to get them to be adults, to get them to behave, to get them to be able to look at other people and consider their feelings. It's not going to happen. It will never happen. That must not be an expectation in your mind. So again, I want you to think about which strategy do I use to minimize the damage for my daughter. And the best way to do it, as I said, is one, the boundaries with consequences and offer her that stability, that consistency, not just with him, but more importantly, with you.
Yeah. Okay. No, awesome. Thank you. And the same implies for the, let's say mother-in-law.
Exactly the same. So if your partner is on board with understanding, see, it would be a lot more difficult if your partner, for example, said, listen, my mother's fine. I love her. She needs to be a part of our world. If he doesn't see her as a narcissist, now you and him are going to be in conflict because he sees his mother one way and you see his mother another way. But if he sees his mother also as a naughty, rebellious child that's whose aim is to destroy, then you can both set boundaries.
Okay, now we're on the same page, so that's fine.
Lovely, lovely, right. Lovely. Then you need to set boundaries with consequences.
I love that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. I hope that helps. And Doc, these narcissists, is there anything sort of long-term you can do about them? I mean, apart from avoiding them in your life where possible.
So narcissists never come to therapy because they're never the problem. It's always society, culture, religion, my mom, my dad, my sister, my children that are the problem. And actually, the only time that we do see them in therapy is when they're sent by someone else. So when their wife said, I'm going to divorce you, and there's consequences. I'm going to divorce you unless you go for therapy. Their children send them. Their parents send them to step therapy. But most of the time, they don't get better. And the reason why they don't get better is because narcissists generally find people that enable their narcissistic behavior. We call them yes men, people that enable. So a narcissist will naturally attach themselves to people that tell them that you're doing the right thing. Everybody else is doing the wrong thing. So they don't get better. The only way a narcissist can get better is when everybody in their circle tells them that they're going the wrong way. Everybody in their circle calibrates them. But narcissists generally find people that tell them, no, you're right. Everybody else is wrong, which makes them feel good about themselves, but then they don't improve. They don't have a need to change.
Yeah, it just feels a little bit close to home, some of this narcissist stuff. I think a lot of people have narcissistic tendencies, but the word is used almost in a cavalier way to describe people who are a bit selfish, which is not the case. We're talking about a very specific kind of personality disorder, right?
Right, for sure. I mean, look, I mean, being selfish at times is very helpful, but the moment you really don't care about what other people think and don't aren't able to adapt to social norms and other people that are sitting in front of you, that becomes a problem.
Right. Okay, well, been very interesting, Sarah. Thanks for bringing your problem to us. I hope that Dr. Hanan has helped you. And give us an update once.
Thank you.
Give us an update once you've put those boundaries with consequences in the place.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks so much, Sarah. There we go. Not cool. All right, Doc, we will check in with you next week.
Yeah, I look forward to the consequences. Just remember, boundaries are no boundaries without the consequences. Just remember that. That's very important.
Very, very good. All right, Doc, thank you. And we will be back with more just after 7 o'clock. This is cliffcentral.com on a beautiful spring morning. I hope you're having an awesome start to your day. We will try to make it even better before you start the rest of it.
Cliffcentral.com.